Sunday Night with John Cleary.
Joined in the studio now by Noel DeBien. Hi, Noel.
Hello, John.
World Vision. Very busy people. I keep popping up all over the place these days. One of these organisations has come from nowhere 20 years ago to really being sort of cutting edge.
Well, having Tim Costello in charge is not a bad leader. Yes. You want some profile from a fabulously credible person.
And a few years ago, their Australian leader was a former Premier of South Australia, so they do manage to get it. Now, you're taking us to somewhere quite close to home, but one of the issues, which really is a sleeping tsunami in terms of we're just ignorant of the way in which PNG is being affected by some of the major world problems.
Well, yeah, we are revisiting. It's been probably a year since we talked about HIV and AIDS up in New Guinea. But as you say, tsunami is the right sort of word to be thinking of, because it's the sort of country where you can't even measure how many people have it. In Australia, we've got a fair idea that, you know, it's largely contained. We're perhaps a country which has had the most successful HIV/AIDS control in the world. Mm. You could claim that we have, you know.
And a couple of years ago on this program, we had that remarkable Catholic nun who was prepared even to do...
Tarsissia Hoonhoff and her condom dispensers, absolutely.
Yes, just fly in the face of received wisdom in the church by inviting people to use their own wisdom in selecting condoms. So she was realising how bad it was.
She was arguing very carefully and theologically about the pastoral application of these sorts of prophylaxis that were sometimes used in extreme situations up there where anybody was at risk. But look, this time it's not about Tarsissia, but it is somebody who knows Tarsissia and who is in fact working with World Vision in Port Moresby, but also up in the north as well at Madang. And her name is Ruby Kaul. And Ruby was actually born in England of Indian parents, but actually calls Australia home. She's one of those sort of international people. And Ruby is, in fact, a GP, well, a doctor. And she's working up there training people in HIV and AIDS control. Ruby's moving between the south in Port Moresby up to the north in Madang, and she's got a good idea of what's going on there. I spoke to her just a little while ago, and I began by asking Ruby to give us an assessment of how the situation with HIV/AIDS is actually going at the moment.
Unfortunately, it has gone worse since I last visited Papua New Guinea. We don't know the reason. The reporting of the prevalence rate is anything between 15,000 to 120,000 people are living with HIV. We don't have very accurate data on the number of people living with HIV in Papua New Guinea. We are already 2% in antenatal women, which means it's a high prevalence category. Also, Papua New Guinea has a very high rate of sexually transmitted infection, which is also a surrogate indicator for HIV/AIDS prevalence. Going by these two indicators, I think we are only looking at the tip of the iceberg.
Maybe last year, it would have been May, I spoke with Sister Tarsissia Hoonhoff.
Yeah.
Now, Sister Tarsissia is a missionary sister, but she coordinates the National Catholic AIDS Office in New Guinea. And Tarsissia told us last year that in the highland areas, she was measuring rates of between 8 and 10% of people who were HIV positive.
We do have various reports coming from various sources. We have a National AIDS Council funded by AusAID and run by the Papua New Guinean government. They report less than 20,000 people. So individual reports quote something else, like I'm just reading a paper on HIV/AIDS crisis in Papua New Guinea by Miranda Darling Tobias from Independent Studies in Australia, New South Wales. She's reporting 120,000 Papua New Guineans are likely to be living with HIV, and 18% of the population could be infected by the year 2010, which is only another little over 2 years away.
So she's saying nearly a fifth of the population could be infected?
Could be, yeah, could be. We know we are sitting on a time bomb.
So the rates are probably high. Why is that happening?
There are many reasons in Papua New Guinea. the health system is collapsing, but even if the health system is running well, I don't know if we can control this HIV spread. There is a very big urban migration from rural areas in search of employment. More industries are coming up in Madang and Leh areas. So many people come down from highlands and islands to work in these industrial areas, and they come without their spouses, and they meet commercial sex workers or girls who are having,
right.
They have invented a new name, transactional sex. That's one thing. The other reason being the patterns of male sexual behavior. This is the only country where I have lived where there's a high rate of gang raping.
Gang raping?
Yes. That's quite frequently you hear about gang rape. So if one man is HIV positive, and all the people who participate is likely to get infected, including the woman. And there is very weak law enforcement. And poverty also driving young girls to go and have transactional sex. So I keep asking myself, why is this HIV so uncontrollably spreading in Papua New Guinea? Sex is not a big taboo in most of the remote, like Torbrian Islands.
It's just not a big deal, is that what you're saying?
It's not a big deal, you know. If a man likes a woman or a woman likes a man, they can get together.
Well, that's not sounding all that much unlike Sydney or Melbourne or Adelaide.
It's different in the way it is a country with their ancient culture trying to cope with fast-moving Western culture, you know. The transition is too quick, I guess, for Papua New Guineans. I'm unable to put my finger and say this is the reason why there is high prevalence. I suppose nobody's able to. We can only speculate, putting all these various reasons and say these are the reasons. But no one is able to say we are doing an extremely good job, we are controlling the spread of HIV. No, there are so many donors, multilateral and bilateral donors, and the government is very aware of the problems of HIV. But don't forget, this is a country where people are anyway dying of tuberculosis and malaria. Malaria still is the biggest killer in the country.
I was struck, I was in Port Moresby just a couple of years ago and went out one night with a friend of mine because he suggested we should really experience discotheque life in Papua New Guinea.
Yes.
And I have to say it certainly opened my eyes because it was an entertaining night in the sense that nothing was as it seemed. And during the course of the night I met a number of people, including young women, whose mothers were still living in the highlands, whose mothers were not literate.
Yeah.
And this was just normal, that people were brushing up against each other. Some were living and working in the city and had jobs, yet they were coming from families who were living still quite basic tribal lives.
Yes, yes. That's still very common. People living a tribal life is still very common. I was in Madang and traveled with some Papua New Guineans. Wherever they met their tribes, they sat around and chewed buai, and they offered me buai too. You know, buai is the betel nut chewing. It's a very common...
That red stuff they spit out. Yes.
So they are still very much that tribal community-oriented culture still. I don't think that's going to go away, even with all the modernization that's occurring in city areas. That's what makes Papua New Guinea so exciting and interesting. People are moving towards modernization, yet holding on to their tribal culture. I think most of their cultural aspects are very exciting and very interesting. It's community-oriented, caring for one another. If one is in trouble, say there is an illness or death, the whole tribe comes to help you. Likewise, when you're well off, you have to take care of the rest of the tribe, so that becomes a bit troublesome. But it is a very caring, colorful, exciting culture.
So what can World Vision do if your responsibility, your chief concern at the moment is HIV/AIDS?
Yes.
What can you realistically do about the situation there? What are you doing?
I can talk about just one project, which is called Madang Action Against HIV. Madang is a town in the north of, it's a coastal town in the north of Port Moresby. And why we are concentrating in Madang is that it has many industrial areas. There is a big tuna factory, there's a nickel mine, and the Manum Island is a volcano that has erupted, so we have removed all the people to the mainland. So people who are being relocated, will have problems with various aspects of that population we are concentrating. Madang is lower down, and it wasn't affected by the tsunami, but there is a volcano that keeps blowing up every so often. So the government has decided all the people living on the volcano should be moved. And there's a very big sugar factory and a Ramu River Valley. So these are the four areas we are concentrating by taking the message of behavior changes and preventive measures. I'm thinking of using a theater group in Madang, as well as I met a young boy while I was in Madang last week. He's only 16 years of age, but he was one of the people in the gang rape. And months later, he had some symptoms, so he thought he'll go and check it out, bearing in mind this incident had occurred, and he was testing positive. So he approached me and said, whatever you do, please use me. I can tell them my story and tell them the dangers of how bad back rape, gang rape is, and morally and spiritually and concerning HIV. So I can be your visual aid to talk about the preventive measures and behavior change in this population. So I thought it would be a very powerful candidate to take the message to these people. If you see Africa and other parts of the country where HIV was, you know, sweeping through like a tsunami.
Oh, yes, they're using theater and street theater very effectively.
No, it's the people who have had a tragedy close at hand, like somebody lost a sister or somebody lost a brother. They have seen someone in the family dying of HIV in a painful way. Those are the people who really do behavior change. So you need to make it personal. People don't think it'll happen to them. They need to have first-hand experience. So I thought we will use this young man to be our visual aid and speak on positive living and preventive behaviors. We have another project on women, gender violence, because pack rape and sexual assaults do happen quite often.
Now, was this something that happened traditionally, or is this something that's happening in the breakdown of Wantok and traditional systems?
I don't think so. I mean, remember, the Romans did it. Whenever there is a war, they take the women and rape them and the women start. So it has happened all over the world. So in tribal war, I guess they took the pigs and the women, the two very
valuable things
in the population. So to call gang rape as a traditional thing is demeaning Papua New Guinea. And I wouldn't like to do that, because I have been around the world and worked in so many countries, and if you ask me, where would you choose to work and live in your and perhaps die, I would say Papua New Guinea is the country of my choice, simply because it is spectacularly beautiful and the people match the land.
I found Papua New Guinea fascinating when I was up there.
It is a fascinating country. Now, well, I don't think we should give such bad propaganda, you know. We take one off. Gang rapes happen in England and America and Australia, but it's much more here.
When I did
the study in Papua New Guinea, in England, I asked them, what do you think is the cause of HIV? And then I had put various questions, multiple choice. One is, it's just ill fate. It can be your fate that you'll... And so many people, 83% or so of the school leavers have indicated it, ill fate.
Yes.
You know?
Which is sorcery, actually, isn't it?
Britain used to burn people at stake for being witches or suspecting them to be witches till...
That was the 1950s, though.
1950s. So, I love Papua New Guinea. I'm going to live here and grow old here and die here.
Can I ask you also about the issue of sorcery, though? Because in preparing for this conversation with you, I had a look at recent news in Papua New Guinea. And there are reports, very current reports this week, of women being tortured and beaten and even killed because they've been accused of sorcery in causing AIDS in children and other people.
Mm. If they think you are a sorcerer, both men and women get killed. The violence is not just on women alone for sorcery. 2 weeks ago, I saw a paper. The villagers believed there was a man. He was the cause of the death. He did the black magic, and five people had died over the last 1 year in a village. So while he was in his house, they took bush knives and chopped him up and threw them. I mean, that's terrible. I don't understand how they can behave. So when I was teaching at the medical school, I'll talk to my students, you all look so gentle and polite. What happens if you have a tribal war? They said, we will take part and kill. So I don't understand that psychology when they go and kill, or anywhere for that matter, particularly in Papua New Guinea. So it's not a violent society. Some crimes are violent, but there are crimes all over the world. The press gives a very negative report about Papua New Guinea in Australia and world over. When I resigned my job in the UK and wanting to come to Papua New Guinea, they really thought I was a saint to go to such a barbaric country. But the people are the most sensitive and caring that I have ever lived with. So I don't see, it's not a cruel society. Violence occurs. But that doesn't mean it's a cruel society.
So what's your feeling about the future for your work in HIV and AIDS control? Are you confident?
My impact in Papua New Guinea, I don't know, it may be a drop in the ocean. Everybody's responsible. We all have to. I keep asking the donors and the Papua New Guinean government, what is happening? Why is the health system collapsing? Why are all these diseases increasing? Why are the death rates increasing? We are not doing things right, or we're missing something very critical. I don't know what it is. I do not have an answer to why this is happening. But you can only do your bit. You know, so my work may be a drop in the big ocean, but I still am adding a drop in the ocean. That's my only satisfaction.
Dr. Ruby Cole, Senior Health Advisor for World Vision in Papua New Guinea, thanks for talking to Sunday Nights.
Thank you.